You know, as we're praying this morning, that's not the right page. Ah, there it is. Nate said, God, we don't want to have an agenda. I don't know if you call it agendas, but we have formats, we have programs, we have plans. I mean, there are certain things that we start the ball rolling by doing it a certain way, but we really want God to be free. And though we come here at 10, that's a program, and I try to prepare a message that God wants me to bring, that, you know, and I have an agenda to bring that message. Harvey has a message. We worship, we take up offering. There's certain things that we do that become tradition. This is the way we do it. But we want to keep ourselves open to the Holy Spirit, that He can interrupt that. Amen. He can work through it. I mean, I think He gave me the message. But He also can interrupt it. He can change it. He can do whatever He wants to do. So we want to, when we start that ball rolling, we want to be sure we let the ball roll. We don't try to keep our hands on that ball and say, this is where you have to go, you know. So let's just get things rolling and then let God take over. God, you know, Harvey mentioned alliterated messages last week. That means every point starts with a certain letter, or, you know, something like that. It's really funny because God gave me one of those this week, and we haven't done those for years. We're going to talk about being the perfume of Christ. Amen. And then He gave me a lot of P's that go along with that perfume, so we're going to talk about those. But we want to carry the fragrance of Christ, you know, and I'm going to kind of go to the end where I got that idea, then we'll go back to the beginning. But there's a verse where God says that we are the savor. We are the savor, and that means fragrance. We are His fragrance. We are a sweet-smelling fragrance to the Lord when we are walking in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't you like to be a nice-smelling perfume? Sometimes we're a little bit more like, get over in the other camp and smell like a skunk. Oh, we don't want to be stinky Christians. We want to be a sweet fragrance. We've been talking about carrying the glory of God. I mean, we're coming to the days where the glory of God is going to cover the face of the earth. And we've talked about that. He's going to do it through us. The painting is finished, and I invite you to go back and read the words. Some of them are on the left of it, and some are on the right. But I invite you to go read those words and consider that He's inviting us to be crucified with Him, to lay down our life with Him, to carry the very real presence of Christ by laying down our life and allowing Him to live through us. The glory of God is the character of God. It is who He is. It is God Himself. He is the glory. And in that, He is a lover. He loves consistently. He loves persistently, persuasively. Pursue it. And those are the P's we're going to talk about. Because when we're carrying the glory of God and we're letting Him love people through us, it's not an easy thing to do. The devil will make sure it's not an easy thing to do because he will put obstinance and orneriness and rudeness in the very person God is sending you to love. He will put resistance. He will do everything he can in them to make you not like them and not want to love them. Yeah, they will irritate you. You know, you consider even other Christians. If you've ever been the head of a ministry where God brings people that are part of your ministry, the ones you're to minister to, those people will irritate you. They will, because you see what they need to be doing, what God wants them to be doing, and they won't do it. Or they come and say things anti-God or anti-you. They do things that are really difficult. And then you want to talk about them or you want to say, I'm done with them. I'm just done with them. I just don't want to be around them anymore. But if you could get the concept that it's more about you than them when God wants you to love them, it's more about Christ being formed in you than it is even about winning them. You know, if he just wanted to win people to himself, he could do it. He could just calm down manifestly himself and win a person. He could just overwhelm them, show who he is, and win them. So if you it would understand, who's that difficult person in your life? Who is the one God is asking you to pour love on right now? Who is the one that's irritating you, disappointing you, hurting you? And God wants you to love them, but you want them to get it. You want them to see it. You want them to change. You want them to know, or you want them to leave you alone. But if loving them is more about God building his glory in you, God building himself, his character in you, if that's what it's really about, then it doesn't matter how they respond or what they do. It matters how you respond and what you do that releases God to them. That's what we need to own if we are going to be glory carriers. We can't stop because of what they do. We can't give up because of what they do. So let's talk about some nature of God's love. God said his love is persistent. It is lasting. Persistent means enduring. You have to endure some things with that person. It's tenacious. It's constant. It's repeated. Do you have to again and again and again deal with that same situation with that person? It's permanent. It's remaining. It's attached and it won't let go. That's what it means to be persistent. I have made up my mind. I'm going to let God love that person. I'm going to persistently love that. I'm not going to ever quit. I'm going to get on them like glue. Harvey says, like white on rice. And then he eats brown rice. I don't know. I don't get that. But it's like for God's glory and for Christ to get to shine glory through me. Not because that person has won my heart so deeply that they're like my own son and I could just never give up on them. No, because God said, set your love on that one. And go after them and never give up no matter what they do. If they die in their sin, you never gave up on them.
Right.
Whether they ever changed or not.
Right.
Persist. Persist. Synonyms of persistent. Bound and determined. Relentless. I love that song, Relentless. You won't relent. God, you won't relent until you get it all. Resolute. I am set to do it. Stubborn. I will not stop hoping. I've got hope for that person and I'm not giving up. I'm stubborn about it. Unshakable no matter what they do in return. Endless. Insistent. God's love will win. I am insistent. It will win. If you're persistent, then you continue to try to do something, no matter how hard it is, no matter who is against it, no matter what obstacles come, and no matter how you get treated in return. Because it's not about you. It is about you, but it's about God's glory being developed in you. It's not about how you get treated right now. It's not about what you see. Then God's love is pursuant. I've got verses. They're coming. I'm describing the words first, then we're going to talk more about them. His love is pursuant. It follows after something until it overtakes it. It's just like stalking love. Just stalking somebody with love. You know, the way we love as humans is we put a little bit out and see if we get something back. You know, I might come up to this person and say, I just really want to be your friend and be there for you. And when they go, I just don't like you, I go, fine. You don't like me, fine. Go find another friend. God doesn't do that. He says, I don't care if you like me or not.
Right.
Now, there was 1 year that my God pursued my husband, and he prepared me for it. Because it was time to confront Harvey Hampton with things he didn't want to hear. And it didn't matter how gently or lovingly or kindly I said, but honey, this is for you. And he couldn't make me, he got angry. And I'm not good with anger. Somebody starts yelling at me, it's like, I don't like you. Get out of my face, you know. Anger doesn't make me give in to you. It makes me get away from you. Whining and begging, I almost laugh at. And you could say, beg a little harder, see what happens, you know. I will never give in to begging. I don't like begging. He got angry. He whined and begged. He went into self-pity. He tried every game of the flesh, and God still had me stand the ground of confronting him for a whole year on issues. And one day he said to me, I don't like you anymore. And I said, I know that, but it's okay. You'll like me again later. Now, I could have never done that in the flesh, because if you don't like me, I was like, you know, fine, I didn't need you anyway, you know. But God had moved in me, and I was able for that whole year to say, it's okay if my husband doesn't like me. But I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. This is for him. It's what God wants for him. And, you know, he dealt with it. God got his way. And I have to add this on his part, because he's a godly man. He also said, I don't like you, but please don't stop. Because I know this is good for me. I know that it's what God wants, so don't stop. I appreciate that part, but I like to be liked. We all like to be liked. Do you realize how like God it is to keep loving someone who's not going to love you back, who's not going to like you back, who's not going to agree with you? They're not going to see the points you're trying to make. They're not going to give in. They're not going to change. They're going to fight you tooth and nail, and he wants you to keep pursuing them with love. Didn't he have to do that for us? Doesn't he have to do that for us? He wants to do it through us because it changes us into the image of Christ. It changes us. Do you know that's his whole purpose here? Like I said, he could come down and win each person face to face. I mean, he's a great big God. He'd just come walk in the room and just come and get in your face and go, Rick, you know, woo, Rick melts. I know everything about you, Rick. I know you do, God. I can heal you, Rick. I know, God. God could do it. Why does he want to do it through you? Because he's after you. He wants to conform you to the image of Christ. Let Christ do this. You cannot do it for him. You can't fake it. You can't pretend it. You can't do it. You have to let him do it through you. You have to let him. That means you've got to be in contact and communion with him, communication, when he says, this is how. This is what I need you to say. This is what I need you to give. This is where I want you to go. And then just let him flow. It's pursuant. It goes after someone. It carries it out. It continues to annoy. Have you ever had love continue to annoy you? Isn't that a strange way to think of love? Love is annoying me. Sometimes we annoy our children until they get it. God annoys us. It runs after. It seeks. You know, in the persistent part, we pray. We don't pray according to what we see. We have to get in the Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, please rise up. Prepare me, but show me how to pray for that person. Show me who they are in you. Show me what you're doing, what you're after, what you want. Rise up and intercede for them through me. I have prayed for people when I didn't pray in English and I didn't know what I was praying. But I would watch my hands. I was praying for a couple one time. And it was like my hands were just doing all these things while I'm praying in the Spirit. And then my hands began to calm down. And my hands began to come closer until my hands entwined and wrapped together. And I don't know what their problems were, but I saw it got fixed and they came back together and fell in love again. You know, I experienced his Spirit of what he wanted for them, but he never told me what their issue was. But it's amazing when you let him pray through you. If you're going to, see, I'm going to ask you to get a love project. I'm going to ask you, God, who is it you want me to love this way? Who is it you want to love through me this way? Who? Give me a name, because I'm going to set my persistence on that name. and I'm going to go after them with your love. There are people who have left here. There are people who have been wounded here. Maybe it's one of those that you're going to pursue with his love. Maybe it's someone in your family or a neighbor who ran over his cat or something. I don't know. God's going to give you somebody to love. No, we're not telling your cat joke, Harvey. We could, though. It's a pretty... You want to hear the cat joke? Sideline? No, I don't have enough time. One who pursues makes a plan to achieve a goal. Then they make a continual effort until they reach that goal. So what are we pursuing? Who are we pursuing? First of all, we should be pursuing Jesus and all his purposes and his presence. We should be pursuing to be conformed to the image of Christ for ourselves. The changes that need to happen in us. And then we need to pursue someone. Because that's where we change, when we let him pursue and love through us. You don't get to pick the person. You try to say, well, I know somebody that's really difficult. I'll just go after them. You'll probably fail. You let him pick who he's after through you. Because you know what? He's so gentle and good. He may not pick the hardest person in your life right off. Maybe it's more than you could handle or do. And he's going to take you in steps. Let him say who it is, or this can't work. God's love is also a couple of other P's. It's powerful and productive. Things will happen. Things will happen. Jeremiah 31:3. We may not get through all of this. We don't know. We'll see. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. God draws people with loving kindness. You know, I know the word says some save with fear and some save with love. But I like the love way. It works, actually works better, and God has gone after me both ways. The love way always gets my heart, which is what he's after. The fear way sometimes gets my obedience, just because he terrifies me. You know, you touch that cigarette again, you die, you know. Okay, I'm not going to smoke anymore, because God told me I'd fall down dead if I did, you know. That was by fear, because love couldn't work on that strong addiction. I wouldn't let it. I didn't, you know, some people say, if you love me, you'd quit drinking. If you love me, you wouldn't ask me to do something so hard. We don't, sometimes something has just got such a grip, love won't do it. And fear has to be the motivator. But because of love, he uses fear. If it's the only thing that will work. But we're learning about the love and his loving kindness. We think that we can overpower people with anger, convince them with arguments. You can't. But loving kindness, the love of God, is really hard to resist. It's like a magnet. It's everybody craves to be loved. His love melts people. It transforms people. It overcomes. It's irresistible. And, you know, this morning, I wasn't going to even decorate this Christmas. And then I went downstairs and I saw some of my really pretty purple sparkly. I went, okay, just one thing. So I put 3 balls in this cup and I put these little sparkly things on the counter and I thought, that darn cat, she'll get it. I know she'll get it. She gets everything that irritates me. If it irritates me, she gets it even more and brings it right to me, you know. So I got mailing tape and I taped them down. And then, ha ha, she won't get them off the counter this time, you know. Come out there this morning and there she is. Just got it in her mouth, yanking as hard as she can, trying to get it off that counter. Man, I slammed my hand down on that counter to scare her, and I yelled at her. And then I thought, how stupid is that? That is only effective if I'm standing there looking at her, and she knows I go to bed, and then she does anything she wants, you know? So it was like, that is really dumb. So what can I do to keep her away from it when I'm not looking? And I got out some of my oils that are real strong-smelling oils, And I doused everything in those oils and said, nah, maybe it won't taste so good. Then she won't get it. But we have a tendency to think if we yell louder, argue louder, or make the best points, we can convince people. No. God's love melts a heart and persuades them. His love draws people. God's love is so, He knows their deepest needs. He knows why they're ornery. He knows why they're resisting. We don't know. You know, there's two sides to every argument. And when we both stand there declaring, my side, my side, my side, we never see the other side. And we don't know. A lot of broken friendships are wounded love. You think you hate each other now, but it's wounded love. And it can be repaired if we just look at the other side and stop declaring our side. So we need to allow God to draw people, get into who they are and the depth of what they need. Love, His love is so powerful, it can face the demons that are deep inside of a person, holding them in bondage. He can face those demons, stubbornness, anger, hiding, lying, guilt, shame, selfishness, lust, addictions. God is bigger than the boogeyman. When we allow a release of His very presence to face someone, He's facing the spirits inside of them. And they cannot stand against God, but they can stand against us. Now, God's love, that was the persuasive part. Now we're going to go to the pursuant. This is really, really something that stood out to me. 1 John, now I don't know if that's a first or it's a scribble on my paper, 4:19. Is that John 4:19 or is that 1 John? 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. If you're going to carry the glory of God and let His love show, you got to be first. You got to be pursuant. You can't come in church and sit down with your arms crossed, watch everybody else go around and hug each other and go, nobody spoke to me. Did you speak to them? Did you pursue them? See, we have to forgive first. We have to forgive them first, even before they're sorry. We have to be first because love is pursuant. It goes after. I had a verse on that one, but I don't want to share that one right now. I just want to share verse 10. To whom, I'm not even going to tell you where I got it, I'm just going to read it. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything to whom I forgive it, for your sake, I forgive it in the person of Christ. I have to take myself out of the offense and say, I'm still offended, I'm still hurt, I'm still wounded, and I would like to argue and make my case. But I'm going to give that to God, and I'm going to choose to forgive in the person of Christ because He would forgive them. I choose to forgive first, even before they repent. Even before they repent. I have to be the first one to speak. I need to come into church saying, I don't care if I'm an introvert. By nature, I'm an introvert. You know, I could walk in that front door, go and sit down and listen to worship, enjoy the preaching, maybe go back and paint for a while because I don't sit still very, I have a very hard time sitting still. That's why I go do other things. And not even say hi to any of you. I could do that for 6 weeks in a row, and I wouldn't even know I didn't say hi to you. You'd be saying, why don't you talk to me? I go, didn't I talk to you? I like you. I could even sit back and go, wow, I really love that message, and I not tell him. Wow, Nate, that song really touched me, but I don't tell him. It's not my nature to be first, to talk to people. My nature used to be, my husband called me wallpaper. You never know I was even in the room. But God wants us to be pursuant. That means we have to be friendly first. If a man will have friends, he must show himself friendly. Well, I don't care if I have friends. Well, Jesus does. And you are trapping Him, and He wants friends. Amen. He's in you, and He wants friends. He wants to be friendly. So when you come in, you need to go say hi to everybody, even the ones that look mad. They need the hi worst. Even if they look like, why are you touching me? Hug them anyway. They'll get over it. They will. They'll get over it. Nate will get over being hugged. Everybody hug Nate today. Oh, look at him. He's already resisting. Nate, he doesn't like being touched. Get over it. Uh-oh, here comes the hug. Look out, Nate. All right, we'll take the attention off that and move on. Be the one who cares first. Be the one who prays for them first. Be the one who gives first. Because God is outrageous, unreasonable. You know, the Bible says give, lend, expecting nothing in return. That's a hard one. When we lend, we expect you better pay me back. We got to go to the forgive first. But God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to be the first to give, expecting nothing back. Have a giving heart. So we're going to love. We're going to reach out. We're going to pray for them first. We're going to go say hi, pursue them first. We're going to forgive them before they're sorry. And we're going to give freely of everything we have, whatever he wants us to give away. Be first, because God's an initiator. He initiates. Sometimes just giving somebody a $5 bill can change the whole perspective of where they're at that day, of thinking no one cares. It's not always received. God told me to go over to a bus stop and give a lady some money. And when I tried to do it, she told me off. You think because I ride a bus that I'm a beggar and I'm needy and keep your money? And I said, well, lady, God, she says, you better start driving. Just drive on. I went, whoa. I said, but God, and I got this out. God knows you're going to have a need and you need $20. And she said, go. And I left with my $20. But still, I bet you later that day, she had a need for that $20, and she knew God tried to give it to her. So you have to give, even when it doesn't get received, if God tells you to give. Whatever he's asking you for, do you want to carry the glory of God? Second Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Let's reword that. Thank you, God, that you will triumph in Christ. In me, you will manifest your sweet perfume. Manifest the savor of Christ and of your knowledge every place I go. I want to carry your glory. For we are unto God, verse 15, a sweet savor of Christ. Unto God we're a sweet perfume of Christ. What do we smell like? Every time we allow his love to manifest through our life, we smell like Jesus. We become a sweet perfume of Jesus. That's where we want to live. That's what we want to give to God. You know, Luke 6:35 says, love ye your enemies, and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind when someone is evil. Father, we want to carry your glory. We really want to carry your glory. We're asking you, prepare our hearts. We lay our hearts in your hands. And God, when we get wounded out there trying to carry your presence, when we get wounded, help us to just run back into your arms and get your healing, get your love, get your presence. Because when we're accepted and we're cared for and loved by you, we can take the woundedness of this world and we can forgive. We can continue to let you love them. You are our daddy, you are our mommy, you are our God. You are a comforter. Lord, bring enough healing to people that they'll be able to lay down their lives and let you live. Because we do want to be chosen to carry your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.